So we talk about swabhava and sadharma. So if something is a swabhava, shouldn't that be natural to us? Why does somebody have to be told to act according to one's nature? See, swabhava, bhava means emotion or more specifically disposition. Swabhava means one's own disposition. Swadharma is, the word dharma is multivalent. Multivalent means it has many meanings. So in this context, swadharma refers to the occupation according to one's nature. So swabhava is one's disposition, swadharma is one's occupation. Now, for many reasons, one's occupation may not be according to one's disposition. Sometimes because for students, certain careers are glamorized, engineering and medicine are glamorized. The student may have artistic inclinations, may want to become a writer, but the student may be pressured to become an engineer. So there, because of social pressures, because of glamorization of certain particular forms of activities, people may get into activities that are not according to their nature. So that's external glamorization and pressure can be one reason. Another point is, even at the time of the Mahabharata, there, when Nahusha asks Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, how is a Brahmana defined? So he says, is it by birth? Is it by learning? He says, no, it is ultimately by qualities and activities. So then Nahusha asks Yudhishthira, Nahusha is in the form of a serpent at that time actually. So he asks, but then if it is by qualities and activities, then what is the significance of the birth at all? Because we could say that anybody who is having those qualities and activities is Brahmana. Then why is the Brahmanical birth considered significant? So he said, he replied that traditionally, genealogy and quality moved in the same line. That means if a Brahmana, a man and a Brahmana woman united, then they would attract a soul who has Brahmanical disposition. And that's how the qualities would flow according to genealogy. But 5,000 years ago, Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying that because of intermixing of the various castes, now the qualities do not necessarily flow according to genealogy. And that's why the varna has to be determined according to quality. So if that applied 5,000 years ago, that will definitely apply now also. So that's why we may not come to know our swabhava very easily. It often takes time to realize, okay, what are my talents? What are my abilities? See, our problem is the modern culture, modern materialistic culture, is a culture of dissatisfaction. Now for the consumer economy, dissatisfaction is the essential fear. If people are satisfied, they will not purchase new mobiles, they will not purchase new cars, they will not purchase new computers. And all the industries that are doing this, they will become bankrupt. So now, what happens in today's economy is our vision, because of advertisement, because of glamorization of things, it always focuses on what we don't have. The whole advertising industry is specialized in showing us all the things we don't have. And because of which, what we have, we don't see. And this applies not only to possessions, it eventually applies even to qualities. Quite often, the talents that we have, we don't even notice them, we don't develop them because we are too busy lamenting that I don't have the talents which others have. So it's like example, suppose now after this program there is prasad. Suppose after a program there is a feast. But it's a special feast where everybody is getting separate items. Everybody has just different items at the feast. And now, when I am taking the feast, I am not looking at what all is in my plate, I am looking at what all is in whose plate. Oh, I don't have that, oh, I don't have that, I don't have that. And that way, although I also have a feast, I am dissatisfied. So, that is what happens for many of us. Although we have certain qualities, we have certain abilities, but if they are not glamorized in society, if some other qualities are glamorized, then we are too caught in the lamentation of not having those qualities rather than developing what we have. So that's why discerning swabhava is not easy. So if we, while in the normal conduct of our life, while doing our various activities, even in bhakti, when we are doing various services, we need to observe ourselves. What are the things that I am good at? What are the things I am comfortable with? So guna and karma when we say guna karma vibhaga, Shri Krishna says, so guna and karma, we can broadly translate it as that inner comfort and outer competence. Guna is something with our quality, that means we are comfortable doing it. And karma means we are competent doing it. So we don't have to today, when we are trying to engage ourselves or engage others, we don't have to necessarily put people in a bracket. This is Brahmana, this is Kshatriya, this is Vaishya, this is Shudra. We just broadly recognize the principle. Okay, this person is good at this. And accordingly, this person can be engaged in this. This person can be engaged in this service. Or I can engage myself this way. So it requires observation of ourselves and guidance from those who know us well, by which gradually we can understand our swabhava. And then we can choose a swadharma according to our swabhava. And even if it is not possible to radically change things, we shouldn't assume that whatever I am doing is not according to my swabhava. Because the nature of the mind is to always think that the grass is the greener on the other side. So if the search for our swabhava, if we leave it too much in the mental platform, the mind will say, whatever you are doing, that is not your nature. But that way, we will stay restless, we will stay dissatisfied. No, whatever we are told, we do that. Whatever we are doing, we continue doing that. But at the same time, we explore, we observe. And by that, we learn about ourselves. So when we say, there is self-realization, we say, discover yourself, or journey of self-discovery. No, that is that. It is not just that we did the journey of self-discovery course and we have discovered ourselves. Discovering ourselves is a lifelong process. Firstly, we intellectually discover ourselves and understand I am not the body and the soul. But even self, Krishna uses the word Atma to refer to the mind also. Krishna uses the word Atma to refer to the body also. Why is that? Because at present, our self is three-dimensional. Body, mind and soul, we are all three combined together. We are not just the soul. Essentially, we are the soul, but presently we are body, mind and soul combined together. That means, to know ourselves, to discover ourselves, doesn't mean just understanding I am the soul. It also means understanding who am I at the subtle level, at the level of the subtle body. What is my disposition? What are my strengths? What are my inclinations? And don't really learn Krishna's service. So we realize ourselves spiritually, but we realize ourselves also subtly. What is my subtle nature? What is my nature at the subtle level? And then gradually, as we keep practicing bhakti, Prabhupada writes in the purport of in the introduction to Letter of Instruction, that he says, as we keep practicing bhakti diligently, how, and we come to the mode of goodness, then how to advance further will be revealed from within. That is, once we come to goodness, we start understanding ourselves better. And we start understanding, this is what I should be doing, this is what I can avoid, this is what can be done by others. And that way, we can become more harmonious, our practice of bhakti and our conduct in our life can become more harmonious with our nature. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki.